Well, a bunch of conservative Republicans are having their annual meeting in Washington, D.C., and Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich are all going to address them today. There is still a question or two left over from Mitt Romney releasing his tax returns a few weeks ago. And one that I've been curious about was when we heard that he paid 13.9% as a federal tax rate because he doesn't draw a salary. He draws a, quote, investment income, unquote. There were debates about whether having capital gains rates so low that a multimillionaire like that pays less than the average American who does draw a salary from working a 40-hour-a-week or more job. Do those lower capital gains rates really do what we're told they do, which is increase investment in this country? David Abramowitz, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, has written a piece about this for Bloomberg News. And when I read it last night, I emailed him and I said, David, come on and explain this to my audience. And so here he is. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
All right. So tell me how this works out where the question of capital gains rates, or rather investment income tax rates, what it has to do with whether we're actually getting more investment in this country.
Sure. A lot of the focus when Mitt Romney released his returns was the, as they say, the effective rate, the overall rate, as you said, was under 15%. And that's because, as you say, most of his income derives from profits, not from working wages. What was interesting to me was a lot of the argument that Mitt Romney as a candidate and a lot of the conservative candidates make is you can't dare increase that rate from 15% back to even the 20% rate it was when President Bush took office and is set to expire. You can't do that because you're going to kill investment, you're going to kill incentive and all. So I went back and looked at the rates back when actually Mitt Romney and his company were making all the investments that have now made him wealthy. Well, it turns out that they were at 28% tax on capital gains for a lot of that. They were always over 20%. And the 28% rate on profits on capital gains was signed into law by President Reagan. So it just didn't hold up even in his own situation that investment was deterred, that businesses wouldn't invest or private high-net-worth individuals wouldn't invest if the profits would be taxed at 28% or 20% or something more like what people pay on their wages.
So that leads to the other question, which is, do investors even look at this sort of stuff when you're considering whether to put your money into any kind of investment, whether it's an individual investor who's trying to figure out what mutual fund to put their money into, or somebody who's a private equity person who's putting millions of dollars into something? Do they look at what the tax rate might be on the other end, or are they really looking mostly at, will this be profitable for me in the long run?
Well, it can get enormously complicated, but let's simplify a little. Yes, people who are investing do look at the tax rate that they will pay on profit if they invest in something. But the way the tax code works, at any given time, the tax you're going to pay generally is the same on whether you're investing in a new business or whether you're investing in an office building or whether you're investing in a shopping mall. Eventually, when you sell it, when you get that profit, you're going to pay a tax at a certain percent. What economists on the conservative side like to argue is that if you don't have very low taxes on investment, then people just won't invest. They will do other things with their money, or they will send it around the world to other places where the taxes are lower. And you know, most everybody who's looked at this says the evidence is pretty dubious on that, certainly at rates that are no higher than people are paying on wages income. Most investors, and I think there's a great quote from Warren Buffett, most investors really look at, is this investment profitable? And they go for the most profitable investments, and they manage around the taxes you'll pay, because if you're going to keep 72 cents on a profit, then that looks pretty good.
All right, so in the Reagan administration, you said it was at 28%. Then at one point it went down to 20%, I believe, during the Clinton administration.
That's correct.
When did it drop to its current 15%?
So that was put in under the so-called the Bush tax cuts that happened in 2001 and 2003, and that have been set to expire since 2003. They were time limited. And some of the argument you're hearing now, when you look back at from 2003 to now, did 15% tax rates actually bring in or encourage any more investment than would have happened? And it's, you know, again, it's hard to say what would have happened otherwise, but you have businesses and private individuals sitting on $2 to $3 trillion of cash now that are not being reinvested. It's not because tax rates are in the way or are too low. It's because the demand from the public, you know, we have lots of people out of work. The public is not spending. Consumer growth is down. The demand from the public is not driving the new investment. It's not. I think anyone would be hard pressed to say if the rate went back to 20%. If it were a profitable investor, investors would be investing in it.
What about that notion of the quote job creators unquote, which we used to call just millionaire business owners, but the Republicans under Frank Luntz's wordsmithness they created that phrase job creators. Since the rate has gone down in 2003, I don't think we had a lot of job creation in this country, did we?
You know, people who are in the business of risking their own capital or even what Bain did under Mitt Romney, and they do a very important function for the economy. I don't agree with people who just sort of paint them with a broad brush. They do a very important function in the economy of repositioning companies that aren't working. But as they have said, their goal is to make money. If you can make a company more efficient and more profitable with 20% fewer workers, that is their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in increasing era of automation and other things. So you can make companies more profitable with fewer workers. That doesn't expand, you know, the pie for people. What does do that is overall economic growth, which we need to have more money in the pockets of homeowners who are struggling to pay their mortgages and others. So they're out buying things, and people have a reason to create jobs.
Plus, calling people job creators, I've never met a business person who said they started their business because they wanted to put people to work. That may have been what they had to do in order to create their business, and as the business grew, they did hire more people. But nobody was sitting around one day saying, oh, I think I got a great idea for a business, and I'm going to put a lot of people to work. That's my primary function. No, the reason you want to have that good idea for the business is, A, you love what you do or what you're going to create or whatever it is, and B, maybe these are in the wrong order, maybe B is really A, but the other one is to make money. That's the bottom line of going into business. That's how capitalism works in this country. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, today I've decided to create jobs.
Well, you know, I am a co-owner of a what's classified as a small business. I'm also a partner in a law firm, and I will tell you, you know, when the demand of our clients warrants hiring more people, we hire more people
right.
to get the job done.
Right.
You could cut our tax rates in half. We would not hire more people because that's not how it does. I grew up in a household where my parents ran a small department store. They were job creators on that day. I never heard them get up and say, I'm going to lay somebody off because my tax rate, which it was in 1960, was marginal rate was 50%. And they didn't say, I'm going to either hire somebody or lay somebody off. They responded to the demand in the country, which required other people to have money in their pockets. So I agree with you. The whole notion that there's either a reward or a penalty for having the label, quote, job creator isn't there. What you really want is an economy where everybody is playing their part. And some people are very good at deploying capital, and some people are better and excellent as working to create the things that we all buy and the services we need. So it's not a one size in either direction, but the idea that letting the tax cuts expire and the capital gains rate go back up to 20%, which is still historically very low, will hurt the economy or deter investment just doesn't hold up on the evidence.
Some great points from David Abramowitz, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Nice talking with you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.